Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
All right, we're doing this. So this episode's coming out May 19th, which is what anniversary of Star Wars?
Star Wars?
1999. Phantom Menace? Did it come out in 99? Because it came out May 19th.
May 4th.
Oh, yeah, that's the official Star Wars day.
Oh, is it?
Right.
But I'm just saying May 19th, 1990. I want to say 99, but maybe it was later. Was the day that The Phantom Menace, the prequels, came out.
Bobby, I don't remember yesterday, man. You're trying to get like specific dates for movies that were lackluster at best.
It's a pretty significant date, and we didn't know it was going to be so terrible. And it wasn't even that bad, but let's not get into that.
It's a big day because Witcher 3 comes out tomorrow. That's
well, it's out. As of this recording.
Well, yeah. But not for PC.
For me. I could have been playing for half an hour. Clown Mush has been playing and been telling me all about it.
What?
Yeah, because it comes out. It's like
somewhere in the world.
Somewhere in the world. So it comes out globally.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I could be playing it right now, but
The Witcher 3.
Thanks to all our fans, I am deferring to doing this podcast instead of playing Witcher 3. So you're welcome, everybody.
Nice. I can't wait to play it as well.
So we're going to start things off with a little game here. And what we're going to do is we've talked a lot about SteamCharts.com, the website where you can see how many concurrent players there are for each game on Steam. And we kind of played this game already, but we're going to officially do it now.
Nice.
I'm going to give you a game, and you're going to guess how many concurrent players were playing at its peak in the last 24 hours.
Okay.
So last 24 hours would be, let's see, would that include
Sunday?
Yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, but this is globally, so I don't know if you really want to go go with that logic. All right, so first game we're going to start off with is a classic, DayZ. How many concurrent players did they
peak? The original DayZ?
The standalone.
In the last 24 hours? I think it's still pretty popular. I'm going to say 20,000.
Not even close. I'm going to say 2,500.
2,500 and 20,000?
Yeah, I guess so.
The answer is 10,068.
Right, spot, wow.
right in the middle.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Chad was a little closer on that one, but yeah, 10,000.
I'll take the point.
That's pretty good. I mean, for as old as that game is. All right.
And as not as good as that game is. Can I say that?
It's so bad.
All right, next one up. Speaking of bad games, Evolve.
Didn't we already have this?
Yeah, but it's changed, so.
I'm going to... Okay.
So
and you guys don't remember anyway, I'm guessing, so...
It was 300 when we talked about it last time, but...
No. It was 3,000.
Was now, it 3,000?
Why am I giving points away? It's 1,000 players. I'm going to go 900, actually.
You're going to go 900?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going the other way. I'm going to say 7,000.
What?
Who knows?
You know, it's funny. It's 1,002.
Nice.
I'm trying to give him a couple points.
1,002. So that is a significant drop from what we saw a couple weeks ago. That game is really, really going downhill.
Ugh. God, all right. We wasted so much time hyping that game.
Yeah.
I know.
Next Sorry one, to all you guys
it
listening.
So did everybody, though. It's not just us. I mean, everybody was, like, hyping that game. That was the hype train for real.
It was.
Seriously.
All right.
Mark, no bite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one up. Bit of a curveball here, RoboCraft.
Ooh, but they just did their relaunch?
Yeah, they just had their relaunch.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go with 4,500. I've been wanting to play it, so I'm sure
it's a free-to-play, so I'm going to go much higher than that. I'm going to say 15,000.
Smart call. It's 11,409.
Boom. Very nice.
RoboCraft Respawned and Overclocked, I guess, is the official title now.
Yeah,
that's a weird title. I don't know.
And side note, I've been wanting to get back into that a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
It's free to play. There's no reason not to.
Well, Humble Bundle just adds something, some sort of package.
Yeah, you get like coins or whatever.
It's, yeah,
you can get more.
Which I got for other games, but I got that as well. So yeah, RoboCraft. I wouldn't mind getting back into that. That was a fun game.
Yeah, definitely was. You can make penises of all shapes and sizes.
I heard this on another podcast, but I keep meaning to bring it up.
Traitor, listening to other podcasts. I know, right?
It was a video game podcast, too. But
Double Traitor.
They have a... there's something called a TTP or a TTD. It's time to penis or time to dick. And that is the amount of time it takes if you give... if there is user-generated content, the amount of time it takes for someone to make a penis. Because it happens in every game.
Right.
Why are we obsessed with making dicks?
Well, look at everything in... Look, our microphone... Everything. Everything's cock-shaped. Just look around.
It's referred to as phallic in actual terms, but yes.
I don't know. What other shape would a microphone be in? I don't...
A vagina shape?
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, that's all I got for that game. So maybe we'll do that again sometime.
That's cool.
That was enlightening.
Wait,
3 points. I'm behind. I can't come back. I can't win.
Maybe you should have done a little bit better in the first three. Fair enough. I wanted to see is EverQuest, because you had said millions.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no way it's in the millions. No, not
I said 1 million. I guess 1 million.
Well,
yeah, you could find that information if you looked hard enough. I mean, SteamCharts.com obviously just does Steam games, right. But I'm sure that information is out there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, so Pillars of Eternity, big game.
Should we do a quick introduction? We haven't done it in a couple episodes.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, I'm Flopsy or Chad. You'll hear them call me both.
I like your voice now that you're sick.
Yes, yeah, seriously, I got a little bass in it.
Kind of sexy. I don't know if I'm rooting for you or against you. Like, you're the mysterious one.
I've been sick all week, by the way, so hopefully to getting you guys sick, too.
Emilio / Ender's Logic.
And I'm Bobby.
Yeah, just Bobby.
That's it.
Bobby B. All right, now we can get into it.
All right, so Pillars of Eternity. So you played this game a little bit a few weeks ago, but now I'm guessing you guys are fully into it. Have both of you been playing it?
Well, so... I've played it a little bit. I didn't put the hours in because I was away on business most of this week. So I did not have the opportunity to play as much as I wanted. I probably put only 3 or 4 hours in, probably.
I put in about 5 hours, and then I started over. No, I'm sorry. I put in about 3, started over, went about 2, started over, and then 1. So it's like 10 hours, but it's all the same content over and over because I kept getting sick of my... character that I was playing.
Really? I didn't have an issue with the...
Because you picked the best guy. Jerk.
What did I pick? The
Ranger. Yeah. And I wanted to stay away so that we can, like...
Yeah. So which ones did you pick, and why did they suck so bad?
I picked... Well, you know, this is like a hardcore D&D game.
Kept comparing it to Divinity, and I'm not really sure if I agree with that.
It's an isometric RPG, obviously set in a fantasy realm. I thought this was only single player, though. It sounds like you guys are saying it's multiple.
Oh. No, it is single player.
It is single player, and it's also not technically turn-based. It's pausable live. It's pausable real-time.
Yeah, it's pausable real-time.
So it's not like Divinity in its turn-based or its multiplayer, but it has the same kind of look and feel, and you kind of set up stuff.
From the look of the screenshots, it looks a lot like Divinity, and that was my first impression.
Yeah. And it shares a lot of things with it. You're controlling multiple players. You can take your time and tell them all what, because there's a lot of things going on. Like I said, it's old school D&D. I mean, you're doing like double digits is kind of like a lot of damage, that kind of stuff. You don't have the graphics, I found them to be really drab and not in a good way. Like, you could have a dark game and have it look beautiful, you know, like Ori and the Blind Forest or something like that, like, which is dark but has beauty. This is kind of, I don't know, it seems like grays, browns, and tans. Nothing really pops out ever.
A lot of earth tones.
Yeah, a lot of earth tones, and I don't know, it's not pretty at all. There's nothing pretty here.
Striking.
Yeah, not at all.
Well, how's the gameplay? The graphics weren't terrible. It just didn't draw your eye.
It wasn't a $45 game visually to me.
So this game retails for $45?
Yeah, that's what I saw it on for today. I think it was $44.99.
Yeah, Hero Edition is $44.99.
Yeah. So I started off with a druid, and like I said, like old school mechanics. You're looking at your stats. You have all these different stats. The character creation is really cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, you can pick a class, and then within that class, you have subsections, and then within your race, you have subsections. So you could end up having like there's maybe over 100 combinations.
Yeah.
More, probably more.
And then you scroll down another level, because once you get all that done, you get to pick from one of two starting abilities.
Yeah.
So depending on how you want to play, you can pick your starting ability different.
Yeah, if you're a wizard, there's like six or something.
Yeah, that's right. But you get to choose two.
Yeah, you choose two.
Yeah.
So you only have one character. There's no party management.
There is party management. But they're picked up. You start as yourself, so you're always playing yourself. But then you get to pick up players. And the beginning thing, which is basically the tutorial, you end up getting two like guys on your team, and then you got to basically choose one of them because the other guy's gonna die. So you got to make a choice on who you want to save and who you want to let die and stuff. So it seems to me like people come into your party and leave your party, and you're the constant.
Okay. Chad, you probably didn't get to this point. Once you get to the inn, you can hire a dude.
Yeah. No, I got that.
Oh, okay. And then you can make them as, like, I made a Chad and a Bobby. Hmm. So, although I had already named my dog Bobby, so I have two.
Wait, so the druid has a dog?
No, that was when I made my ranger.
Oh, so you did end up making...
Yeah.
All right.
So the druid was just... The reason I got confused with it, or just like frustrated with him, is because he turns into a werewolf. Like, that's one of the breakdowns on druid. What form you want to take. There's and they all have their own different things. You can turn into a stag, a boar, anything like that. So he turns into a werewolf, and he's beast mode. Just rips everything apart. But he only stays that way for like 6 or 8 seconds or something. And then he turns into a caster. And then... But everything's dead by the time you're done with the werewolf. So I have all these spells, and I never use any of them. And then you get to a certain point where the werewolf isn't enough, and you try to start casting spells. But it just seems like a wizard or a fighter, but he's not both. Mm. You have to pick.
He's a hybrid, but
it didn't work for me. There's probably a way to make it work. Yeah. I just don't know much about the D&D
rules. Battle Mage, isn't that the whole concept that you love? Battle Mage?
No.
It never seems to work out.
Yeah, it never seems to work out.
Did you try the Paladin? The Paladin and Priest. So you have these like reputations, basically. So they're not good. They don't really like...
That was a cool concept.
Yeah. It's not like necessarily good or bad. You can save people or kill people, and you'll get different reputations, which don't necessarily do anything, but if you're a priest or a paladin, it will actually affect
your skills. So, like, depending on which god you worship, and then your actions reflect the philosophies of that god, you'll get stronger. And that's just if you're so if you follow a just god,
it's like a faith simulator.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
It seems like each of the classes really changes the gameplay and all.
Right, yeah. It's very, very in-depth. I mean, you have the whole canon of all those years of D&D that they're putting together.
This is
like Games Workshop or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait,
Wizards of the Coast.
Well, it says here, I'm looking at the Steam page for Pillars of Eternity, and it says developer Obsidian Entertainment. Is this the first game they've done since South Park?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I want to say so, yeah.
Wow. This is the one that was kickstarted also.
Hmm.
So, anyways, as far as recommendations... Oh, I think I had a couple more. Oh, did you... I saw a book and I clicked on it and... Yeah.
You stole it?
Took it. Yeah. And didn't realize that the guys there would turn around and start beating my ass.
Oh, yeah.
So then I had to kill a guy, which affected reputation. But I just thought it was funny. The same thing happens in Divinity, too, right? Where if you pick up something while people are watching, then they, like, get mad.
But I was stealthing and stealing stuff.
The other thing that I didn't like is everybody drops loot. Everything you kill drops, like, 5 or 6 things.
Right.
You just...
But you can't get encumbered, either.
Yeah, you're just picking up shit all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like the games need to have a balance on that. And maybe the realism is there, but it's not realistic when I have 14 swords that I'm running around with either.
Or one person.
Yeah, so...
Because you have your personal inventory, but then you have the group loot?
It's a vault, I think.
Something like that. Stash, that's what it's called.
Stash, yeah.
The group has a stash, but even if you're one person, the stash can be like 300 items or something.
Yeah, so you can drop it right into there.
But besides that...
And pull back out. So it's basically your inventory.
Yeah, it's basically your inventory. So for a game that's stressing realism, that's kind of like a weird... thing that they had.
Yeah, and then you end up going to the store, and then you're just selling all that stuff, and it's like 3 or 4 copper or whatever. It's like,
Yeah.
Yeah, loot management has got to be the most boring part of any RPG for me. And that's why I'm really glad. I haven't played Diablo since they made some of those big changes, but I remember that being the biggest offender when it came to just useless trash, like just filling up your inventory and you go and sell it for like a copper or something.
I like a sell all trash button.
You know who did a great job was Guild Wars 2. They had like auto sort and just sell, like just implemented in the design, no add-ons needed.
The other thing that I thought was cool in Pillars of Eternity is you can basically turn on double speed.
So
when you're going around town, you can also turn it to slow. If you're in the middle of a fight, you can do slow speed, and they'll go kind of half speed. But it was cool, because when you're running around town, you don't want to see the guy running around to get up to where you want to click on. So you could turn on double speed and just click wherever you want on the map, and they would just kind of run over there, which I thought was nice. Like, it really helped out the pacing of the game.
Every guy that you add to your party takes his portion of the XP. So the more dudes you have, the less XP you're getting. And it's split evenly. So there's benefits for having other guys, but your team's going to level up slower. So you can play this by yourself, just one guy. But it doesn't modify how deadly the things are. So
if you can do it solo,
that's probably the best route. But it's a pretty rough game. It is not very forgiving. Like in my druid, all of his abilities are AoE, and your AoE attacks hit your own dudes. And then even your archer can sometimes hit your own guys. It can be friendly fire if he's not positioned right.
I was also having some problems going into doorways. One guy would go through a doorway and stop and start attacking, and then like the other guys couldn't go through or whatever. You just had to play around.
There was
some
pathing
doorways.
Issues a couple of times. It's a pretty good game. There's a lot there if you want to get into it. I mean, this is probably one of those. I think I looked at the time to beat. It was like 55 hours or something like that.
Voice acted also. Almost all of it was voice acted, which I kind of liked.
Yeah, less and less towards the end.
Oh, really?
You know, not everything, but yeah, a good amount of it.
Which is nice, because they have all those weird sounding words, and like you see the word like direwood or whatever, and you're like, how do you say that? But they've got it voice acted, so you kind of know how to pronounce stuff, which I liked.
So we said the graphics weren't very intense. When things happen that the graphics can't represent, it goes into this like story mode, where it's kind of like a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah.
Where you're like, it's showing you a picture book, and then you're flipping the pages as the events happen. So even when I was like climbing a wall, it was like, how do you climb this wall?
Yeah.
And then you turn the page, and it's like, well, I'll use the grappling hook, or I'll just climb. So it was kind of like a shortcut that they went around.
It felt like they were trying to be an homage to like kind of the classic games.
Yeah.
But games now, you don't have to do that anymore, because you can just show it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, What's the advantage of doing that anymore? It's less coding, less it means
a lot less.
But it's like people our age can remember that kind of stuff and appreciate it. But younger generations aren't going to know these kind of like choose your own adventure kind of like style games like that. So
I think I'd be way more into this if Divinity didn't exist.
Yeah.
Divinity is just a clear, in every single way, better game, better looking, better mechanics, better story. Maybe not the story, I don't know. I just can't recommend this because that other game exists. And it has the option for multiplayer, which is always great.
Well, you had, didn't you have to kind of do add-ons to get the multiplayer and all the work?
No, that's for more
players.
Than two players.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, the game supports two players easily.
If you don't like turn-based, then this game could be for you. But other than that, if you... You know, because it technically is real time. Combat goes on, and they take their turns when they want.
Maybe I also prefer turn based. I don't know.
See, because I prefer this one where like the fight starts, it's paused. You do your one action that you're going to do, and then you're going to auto attack for the rest. And it kind of worked out for me. I liked it.
What I didn't like is that so I need this guy to go down here and then do this, and that. But I couldn't cue those things in a row. I had to, like, each step of the way, pause it again and tell him to do this new command.
Gotcha.
And that's where it gets kind of convoluted. That's probably my biggest problem with the whole thing was, let me do this AoE attack here. but I got to get these guys out of here and make sure they turn around and start attacking. So many times I moved my guy and they just stand there and they're getting hit because I didn't tell them again
to attack,
re-engage. Yeah. So
okay. I can see that.
It's very, I mean, you're micromanaging the shit out of your dudes. If that's your thing, go for it.
I'm surprised they don't have like an auto attack button like Shadowrun did.
They do. You just click on it.
You click on it. But if you move the guy, he doesn't re-engage it. Yeah, re-engage the auto attack.
Yeah. So do not buy this game if you don't own Divinity. If you love Divinity and you're looking for something similar but not the same, grab this. That's the only thing I can say
on
that.
And honestly, you know, we've only played about 10 hours and me about 3. Maybe once it ratchets it up.
Well, according to howlongtobeat.com, the main story you're looking at 43 and a half hours.
Yeah.
Which isn't as long as Divinity either. And Divinity has... Divinity Original Sin is what we're talking about, by the way. But that game has a ton of user-generated content.
This one will, I'm sure, too.
If it's supported.
I can't see why it wouldn't be.
Mm.
I mean,
does it have a workshop? I didn't even notice when I looked at the Steam page.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Because Divinity just has so much stuff. I mean, even if you manage to beat the vanilla game, which I think is like 80 plus hours, then there's still plenty of missions, and you can like playing with 3 people was a lot of fun too. Like if you can get 4 people together in that game, I'd play the whole thing over again.
What does have a workshop or just got a workshop is Dying Light, which is a game that I beat this week. I beat a lot of games this week. That was the first one.
Tell people your week. You had the whole week off.
So I was like, I was close to beating a bunch of games, so I did it. So I beat Dying Light. The last guy was a quick time event, which is kind of like, but it doesn't matter because he really wasn't the end. He wasn't the boss. The boss was getting to the boss. You do a parkour section to get up to him.
Spoilers.
Not really. Super hard. Super fucking hard. I might have died 40, 50 times trying to get to him. It was tough, man. I tried everything. And I think I kind of cheated. I don't know, but I got around it. I got through it. Somehow, I got through it. It's really tough. You know those night crawler guys or whatever, the ones that are only out at night?
Mm-hmm.
You just have a whole sewer full of them, and you got to get through it, and they're chasing you the whole time. It's a motherfucker. Or maybe I'm just bad, but it ended up taking me about 50 hours to beat this game. That's a lot for a first-person survival game.
Yeah.
It just stresses how great this is. I mean, I'm thinking this is going to be one of my runners-up for the game of the year.
When did this come out? This was like February? Something like that?
January, March? I want to say. This came out earlier this year.
Yeah, Chad, earlier this year you asked me if GTA is worth the $60, and I said absolutely yes. It'd probably be worth $100, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that I'm Dying Light. Like, the amount you're getting here, it kind of shuns away these other games that are coming out for $60. And you're like, whoa. Like, depending on just the amount of content, good content you're getting. I was like, how long is this game? It's like, not in a bad way either.
Yeah.
The difficulty was little, but you know, they run out of new zombies to shoot at you, so they just kind of shoot more of the same, which makes it harder, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, they just got the workshop.
I want to put you on the spot real quick.
Yeah.
You could only buy one game right now. Do you buy GTA 5 or Dying Light?
Probably GTA 5 because I think the mod support's going to be huge.
You and mod support?
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to get into. The workshop just came out for Dying Light. It's very new, so there's not much to it. You know, people are making these like parkour maps that are like in these surreal worlds where you're like floating buildings and stuff, and it looks really cool. People are doing slaughterhouses where you like just hack your way through. You know, the very first things that come out.
Ice World 2.0.
Yeah, it's definitely not there yet. Hopefully, people keep playing this. I know they sold a lot of copies, so I'm hoping some really cool shit will come out. I can't say that there's been amazing things yet. I'll get into the other games I finished later. What do you got, Bob?
Well, I finished some games this week, too, I guess. What did I
finish?
He's
got the start of a smirk. What's going on
here? I'm trying to remember. I finished Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. Nothing really new to say about that. Yeah. Overall, fun game. I can't give it a strong recommendation, though. Side-scrolling platformer, play a mob guy who shoots up a bunch of zombies. The story was cute and interesting, but I just loved the animation. It looked like a cartoon I would watch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's not too much I can say about that game.
Check in last week's if you want to hear more about it.
Yeah. So yeah, Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. I beat Wolfenstein: The Old Blood.
Yeah.
Any
change to the last week's thoughts on it?
Not really. I did enjoy it a little bit more once I got into it. I still feel like it would look so much better if I just had a new graphics card. I've really got to upgrade that 690, but I don't know.
So do it.
Yeah, we'll see. $1,000 video cards are not in the budget right now.
Should I talk Wolfenstein a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
We brought
nice
it up?
Segue.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So obviously I got a new graphics card a couple weeks ago, so I've been looking through Bobby's thing. One of them was Wolfenstein, which I've been wanting to play. So I finally got a chance to play it. Bobby's actually been pretty good on not being online, so I've been actually having some good opportunities to play. Yeah, it's really good. I set it to just the normal difficulty because I kind of want to just play through and stuff.
What'd you do on it, Bob?
I did the normal difficulty.
Yeah. I did on hard, bitches.
Hard really isn't that hard.
No, it really isn't.
It actually makes the game like feel like it's on normal.
Dude, yeah. How many hours do you put in before it gives you the title screen? Because us playing away, having a great time, you know, thinking maybe I'm like a third of the way through the game, the title comes up. I'm like, what the fuck?
It was like 2 hours, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Like an hour, probably. A solid hour.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the beginning of that game, but yeah, it did have a very long intro.
You start in with the plane, and the plane crashes mm-hmm. on the beach, and then you have to get your way up to the top, and you finally get into the castle.
Did you fight the big thing?
Or I don't think you fight it.
You
don't.
You shoot at it.
Yeah.
That's coming later,
though.
Yeah. So,
spoiler!
Yeah.
Well, that's what I liked about that game. Old Blood didn't have any boss fights, which I was a little disappointed with.
Yeah.
And it felt
sucks.
Like the entire game just condensed into, I think I spent 6.5 hours. I spent a longer time than I really should have because I was just kind of walking around, enjoying the scenery, taking my time. But it really felt like a condensed version of the New Order. And it felt like they rushed through everything. The story felt a little light. Just everything about it was just, I don't know, a little too snappy for my taste. Like the New Order, you really just got it was it had that time to build the atmosphere,
yeah,
and you really felt like you were in it. And
are you guys like me when you're like playing and you just look into some random alley and you'll just appreciate how much detail goes into mm-hmm. like fucking 75% of the players probably didn't even turn that way,
yeah,
but I'm gonna look and just appreciate, wow, there's little pieces of paper floating around,
yeah.
I always do that, yeah. I'm always appreciative of the fidelity of everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, one thing I always do is just test and see what will break, what can I interact with, you know, how high is the fidelity of this game.
Yeah.
So I spend a little time, and, you know, if you play a lot of video games, your initial reaction is to go where you're not supposed
yeah,
to because
exactly.
that's where the secrets are.
Yeah.
So
and that
well.
Was kind of the disappointment, one of the disappointments when I played Rise a couple weeks ago, is that so there is no yeah. destructibles. Like, you've got crates mm-hmm. and beautiful things and everything, and your sword just goes through it.
Well, there's some pots and stuff.
There's a couple things, but, right. like, it took away a little bit from it. But anyways, Wolfenstein, it's been
How
talked...
How far are you?
It's been talked to death. I just... So, the
Did
old...
Did you do the hospital yet?
I finished the hospital. The old dude got me out of the back of the trunk, and I'm starting to go through while she's still in the trunk. So
okay.
that's basically just...
Yeah, it's all good, man.
Yeah.
The whole thing's
yeah.
good.
They take you to so many different environments in
yeah.
that game, and it's not the case with the Old Blood. Although, I do retract one statement. There is a boss fight at the very end of the game. It's not very challenging at all.
Hmm.
But and they give you a ton of weapons, too. There's a few more new weapons in the Old Blood, but nothing really, really to sell it. Except for that pipe. That pipe is with you till the end. And
Are
I was
you
talking
using
about,
it at the end?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you use it at the very end. I talked about it last week, how the pipe was just kind of iconic. It was like the crowbar in Half-Life, and I still stand by that because it's with you throughout the game. You always use it. It's like your little utility belt.
That's cool.
It's your buddy.
Bobby Lane pipe.
Anyways, yeah. Wolfenstein, I won't talk about it much more, but I love the atmosphere. It's kind of depressing, like, because you've already lost the war. Like,
even if you win, you lose. Yeah. You're already lost.
There's no, like, you're not killing Hitler at the end or anything. Like, you guys lost.
Yeah.
So it's kind of depressing, but at the same time, you know, you're this, like, superhero, basically. You know, he's killing Nazis all over the place, and these Nazis are just... I love the... It's not steampunk. What would you consider?
It's very a lot of machinery.
Yeah.
It's mech. I guess it's mech.
It's they have a name for it. It's called retrofuturism. Like it's how like people in the 60s would envision the future.
Right.
Kind of like that. Because this takes place in an alternate universe in I think 66 or 69, yeah, but as if the Nazis took over the world. So it's an alternate retrofuturistic look.
I love the Pixar world game,
the Pixar movie about the superheroes. That's also retrofuturistic. Superhero Pixar movie.
Big Hero 6? No.
No, you're talking about the old one, the Hero...
Oh, the Incredibles?
Incredibles, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the same thing there.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, Chad, more about, like, along the lines of machinery, because there's a lot of, like valves and pipes and steam, and everything's very mechanized, even the dogs.
Yeah, and it's just a really cool...
I'm glad you're enjoying it, because I thought you were going to shit on it for some reason. You shit on most things.
No, I can't wait to play the rest of it. And if you haven't picked it up yet, you can probably get it for, what, $30 or something at this point?
Maybe not that cheap, but it does go on sale, especially with the summer sale coming up. You can probably pick it up for, like, $20. It was the lowest I've ever seen it on sale was, like, $20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a must-buy.
Well worth it.
Great game. Any PC gamer. Love the levels in that. The train level was my favorite. It's almost at the very end of the game, so you'll get to that. But the train level was awesome. And just dual-wielding machine guns is just, like, who doesn't love that? Like, you really feel empowered.
With the I mean, it's been used a ton of times before, but, you know, left-click does one gun and right-click does the other.
Yeah.
It's got a cool, feel to it, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby, what else did you play? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut
you off. No, that's fine. That's really all I played, except a lot more Killing Floor 2. That's my go-to game right now. I haven't even touched Heroes of the Storm anymore, man. It's been months, a month maybe, but Killing Floor 2 is my go-to game. I'm at the level of that game where I know everything about it. I've completely saturated all the content. I'm just waiting for the next update. I beat the game on... all the difficulties except the very hardest, Hell on Earth. But I beat it on Suicidal. I beat every map on Suicidal. I know how to handle, like, all the big bosses and exactly what to do and when. I'm just at that level to where I just need more content.
And when you're saying beat the game, are you beating the game during multiplayer? You progress during multiplayer? Is that what you're
talking
about?
Well, there's three maps.
There's a set number of waves, right?
Yeah, so and you can adjust the number of waves.
Getting through all the waves is beating it, right?
Yeah, and then they have a boss at the end. But really making it more waves doesn't make it any more difficult. It almost makes it easier because you generate more cash. So it's not like making it 10 waves as opposed to 7 makes it more difficult. Mm. But they did announce that they're going to be releasing a new map called The Manor. Hmm. That'll be coming up. I'm looking forward to that.
Do they have mod support? Workshop?
Yeah, they do.
So that'll be good.
Yeah, and I haven't really seen anything... too big right now, but yeah, people have been making their own maps. I've played some. They aren't really that amazing, but early stages.
And Bobby made an awesome video. I know I announced the shit out of it on our group, but if you haven't seen it yet, it's even if you don't play Killing Floor, it's very well done. I thought the music and how the video goes in music is your best work yet, Bobby.
Yeah, it turned out great. check out, it's probably on, it's on our YouTube channel. You can check it there. Or you can go to, right now, if you go to the community hub for Killing Floor 2, it's practically the front page. But yeah, slow motion montage, because that's the funnest part about this game is the slow motion. But
Zed time, right?
Yeah, Zed time is what they call it.
Yeah, if you could go find Bobby's video and up like it on Steam.
What's our YouTube channel? It's DL Gaming DOTnet? Or is it?
Yeah, just go to dlgaming.net. You can find the link there.
Link to everything, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me, though. That's been my week.
I also beat GTA. Actually, it's funny because I was like, last week I was like, I think I'm pretty close or whatever. As soon as you guys left, I started playing. I beat it within 10 minutes of...
Really?
Yeah, I should have just beat it before. Yeah, I was at the very end. You get a choice on, like, who to kill at the end, or if you want to keep everybody buddies. I kind of regretted my choice, But I gotta live with that now because I'm still gonna play the game afterwards.
You could just start the game over again.
I could, but there's no reason to. So it's non-officially the greatest PC game of all time. I don't know if I'm...
According to what sort of statistic?
Metacritic.
No, the
Metacritic. 97 on Metacritic.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm cool with that, but it is definitely... like I said, it's worth $100. I would pay $100 for this. Like, knowing... Now I'm getting into the... just like I did with Dying Light, I'm getting into the online portion.
Yeah. I'm going to have to just buy it.
You're just going to have to buy it, dude, because I really want to do the heist with you guys.
Maybe if you'd stop breaking shit in the house, I could afford it.
So, it's funny. I don't know why. So, if I play a Ice World on a CSGO, and it's 5v5, and we go at each other and we kill
each other. Should we tell people why we bring up Ice World frequently?
Because we played a billion hours.
So,
Bobby, did you play it?
Ice World, no.
Just to preface it for all you youngsters out there or gamers that weren't around for... Before Steam was even around, Valve had Counter-Strike, and Counter-Strike, like, 1.5 were we playing?
Yeah, probably 1.5 or 1.4.
So, it was all player-made maps, pretty much, except for the couple that Dust and a couple others.
Because Counter-Strike itself was player-made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they had a map called Ice World, and it was literally four pillars in around a square room. In the very center, there was a piece of ice that you could fall through in a little pool underneath, but there were just guns set up, and... Eight people would start on one side and eight people were on the other. And you would go, you would pick up a gun, and you would peek around the corner and start trying to kill the other guy. That, it was literally that quick.
It was like just a slaughter room, basically.
Yeah. Like 5 seconds, you're in, you pick up a gun, you start shooting, and it was the first person, the last person alive, you know, wins, and then you would just do this again and again and again. We would just play this level.
All day.
Like, the rounds would be like 30 seconds, a minute tops.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if you had two guys being, like, stealthy, it would be, like, maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah, and then it would be one-on-one, and then, like, people are creeping around, and somebody will get a knife kill, and everybody goes crazy.
Yeah.
You know, old-school stuff.
Yeah, but that was kind of our, like, online first-person shooting heritage right there.
Yep.
So, anyways.
So, you know, there's that excitement, but for some reason, my connection to... the 5v5 shooting gallery on GTA Online, like when you're playing 5v5, I'm more invested in this character, maybe because I built him from the ground up. Maybe it's not, you know, he looks just like me. He wears board shorts and tank tops. and I don't know what it is, but it's more exciting than most. It's more exciting than TF2 in certain ways. I don't know why. Maybe I guess because I have an affinity for the character or something. I just seem more invested. Plus, if I lose or gain money on that game, on that fight, it goes towards my overall progress online.
Gotcha.
You know? So it's kind of like you're gaining XP. You are, but you're also money is what. The whole game, all the online experiences. So any bit of money you spend or make, it goes towards how well you're doing online. So everything seems really important. More than just that 5v5 match, you also have your overall progression. And then also, you can bet. So it costs you, you're going to win this much if you play. And you're going to gain this much XP. Now you can make side bet for as much as you want. On whether or not you're going to win or lose, so that's pretty cool as well. So on, you can raise the stakes for yourself, and that's, you know, I always bet on myself, so so it's pretty cool. Oh, and you can see who's on controller and who's on keyboard. And my first game, I went in and there's like it was 10 people or something, and two had controllers and everybody else had mouse and keyboard, and it was the shooting game, right? And I'm like. Oh, whoever gets those...
But they might have aim assist, the controllers.
Yeah, but still, you're not going to get... It doesn't aim assist for headshots.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm like, wow, whoever gets those guys is going to lose. Of course, I got both. And I had just bet $1,000 on the fight. But I pulled through. I did really well. I'm doing well as well. That's also pretty fun.
Nice.
But some matches, like, it's a very big map. and you have to jump in vehicles to drive to the weapons. You start with a 9mm, but you could drive and pick up the sniper rifle if you get there first. But the other guys are, maybe you picked the wrong vehicle and they got there first because they're on a motorbike. And it's just chaos, man. It's really, really cool. And
can you see them on like the radar or anything?
Yeah. And then okay. The driving's really fun. But I think you can sneak, and I think you probably fall off of the radar if you're sneaking. So yeah, there's a whole bunch to it. It's cool. It's really cool.
This is GTA 5 online?
Yeah, GTA 5 online.
So much better than GTA 4 online, right?
Never touched it. I don't know.
I heard it was pretty much dog shit, but I don't know.
And then driving around the town, like this PvP that I'm talking about, you have to drive there and actually park and get out like it's a mission in GTA. While you're driving around the town, there's other people driving around to go missions too, and you could just jack each other on the way. And also, you have a car that's linked to your account. This is your car. Like, if you mess this car up, you're going to have to pay for its repairs because this is the car that you spawn with. You upgrade this car and whatever.
Oh, gotcha.
It's called your signature car. And you can switch it, but you've already invested so much. I really I like that a lot because... in GTA, cars are a dime a dozen,
yeah.
Right? Except for yours is set up, and you're going to take it to races.
Did you get a green Toyota Tacoma?
I did not.
No?
I think I won in real life.
The way you describe it almost reminds me of APB Reloaded.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that was a fun game. It just didn't have a lot of people playing it, and it just lacked some fidelity, I guess. It wasn't a very visually...
Is fidelity the word of the day? Because I've never heard you guys mention that.
Oh, we've used it before.
Yeah. Fidelity.
Fidelity.
Make a note of that there, Bobby.
All right.
So, I guess it's my turn to talk about some games.
Yeah. Is that all the games we got except for Kerbal Space Program? Someone's been playing that.
Well, before I get into that, I promised one of the listeners had requested Titan Souls, and I said that I have a free copy. It's on the console, so I apologize. I only know this from consoles, but... I went ahead and played it because a listener was asking about it. So basically, it's a top-down, pixelated, I don't want to say shooter. You get one arrow. So you shoot your arrow, and then you can charge your arrow, and the more you charge it, the farther it goes. But you can't move while you're charging it.
Okay.
And then you can shoot it, and then you can either walk over it, or you can summon it back, or you can pull it back to you. But you can't move while it's pulling back to you, but it can damage things as it's coming back to you.
Oh, interesting.
So you could kind of use it like a boomerang if you're not moving. You can shoot it, pull it back to you, shoot it, pull it back to you. But this game is like Shadow of the Colossus.
Only boss fights?
It's only boss fights that I'm aware of, and I went through 6 or 7 bosses. But they're very hard. They usually have some sort of trick that you got to figure out what to do. So, for example... there's this giant water cube that kind of charges at you. And so you get a roll button so you can kind of roll out of the way and whatever. But you can't shoot while you're doing that, right? You got to kind of move or shoot. You can't choose to do both. And they've got four buttons on the edges. But when you walk on the buttons, nothing happens. But this heavy thing, if it rolls over it, it hits the button and a flame comes up in the middle. So what you got to do... is you got to roll out of the way while it charges you, and then charge your bow up, and then while the flame comes out, so it's sitting on a button, while the flame is out, you've got to be in line that you can shoot your arrow through the fire and hit the guy, because that's the only way you can...
Oh, fire arrow.
You got to make a fire arrow.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's very... It's hard.
Really hard,
it's
yeah.
So, like,
how many times do you have to hit him?
Just once.
Oh, okay.
So, but... It's a one-hit or quitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get hit, you're dead, and then you spawn again.
I see.
So, that's basically what this game is in a sum total. You don't get new mechanics, you don't get new abilities. Mm. It's basically figuring out how to kill this guy with one arrow and being able to survive until you do so. And it's one of those games where you die again and again and again and again.
Is the restart really quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
You spawn...
And the game saves after each boss?
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
That's good.
So
I can dig that.
It was fun. Yeah. I think it's like $10 or $15. I'm not sure I'd pay for that. But then again, I'm kind of over this like pixelated graphics bullshit. Like,
there's a lot of them.
I feel like at this point now, it's gone beyond kind of cool, and now it's gotten to lazy. Like, people are now doing it just because it's easier. And I don't, like, I'm not
now that you have
that.
These graphics engines that are free, you can start using those. But that's a new development. Yeah. All these games were in development before all these things became free, so...
I understand what you're saying, though. It's like found footage films. It's like, all right, it was cool at first, but it's not an excuse for a low budget.
And every once in a while, there's a breakout one, but still, generally, they suck. Yeah.
But I did have fun. It kind of got tedious. Like, one thing I didn't like about this game is, so you start off and you kill four kind of bosses, four or five, I forget, and then you go up to this elevator, and then it kind of opens up to the real kind of map. And this map is big and wide-ranging, and I kind of think they did it kind of like Shadow of the Colossus, because you were on the horse in Shadow of the Colossus, and you had the sword that would kind of point you to the next
one. Where to go,
and it was kind of just this giant open, and you could explore and kind of... But in this, it's just a top-down kind of like pixelated thing.
You gotta run everywhere and check.
Like, and you, it doesn't tell you where to go the next one or do anything, so you kind of just end up wandering the landscape, and there's nothing really interesting about it. So it just... That part kind of... I just wanted to get to the next boss and just kind of do the puzzles, you know? Like, that's what I wanted, and it wasn't letting me do that, so that kind of... I just got bored of just wandering around trying to find where the next enemy is. So that's when I kind of stopped playing. But, you know, $5-$10, if you're into that kind of gameplay, I'd definitely say it's worth it.
Got a pretty good idea of what that is now.
Yeah.
I've got one more. I beat The Vanishing of Ethan Carter tonight. And just a little while ago, actually, really cool. Just take everything that I said about it before. You know, if you're into action games, it's not for you. This is a thinking game. Very beautiful, very slowly paced. You're gonna beat it in probably under 5 hours.
Really, under five? You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's a short game.
I did look up one thing because I wanted to finish it before this podcast.
You almost looked up one, but we helped you out.
Yeah, it's true. It's funny because my girl was watching me play, and I was like, "Yeah, Bobby says, or Chad said that at some point something scares you." And right while I'm saying it, something scared the fucking shit out of me. All of my hairs on my legs fucking stood up, man.
I told you there was that one scare.
Because there's no mobs in the whole game. There's nothing to be scared of. So you stop being creeped out and you just sprint through the whole game. I'm sprinting the whole time because you're not afraid.
It's a very creepy, like, ghosts and like there's spirits that you follow and stuff.
Like
you think like you're gonna be scared, but after a couple hours you just there's nothing.
And then eventually there is
just
and
one.
It's a double scare too. Finish that up. I have a new complaint that I didn't have before. When we talked about it before, you know, there's these murders that you need to solve or these mysteries you need to solve, and I had missed a couple that Chad had hit, and I had done some that he had missed. But when you get to the end of the game, you can't finish it unless you've done all of them. And it gives you a fast travel thing, because at this point... And you can fast travel to them and just figure them out, and I did it very quickly. But the thing is, when you want to get to the next one, you have to either go back to the fast travel location or go walk straight to the thing.
It won't let you go back to where...
You can't go back to the fast travel. And man, at this point, like, I was probably running from one to the other, maybe like 15, 17 minutes. That's a lot of running.
Yeah.
That's a lot of running. And the elevators take forever. I was going down the elevator. I went and gotten beer, came back, opened the beer, took a drink, and I was still not at the bottom of the elevator shaft. So, but these are small
complaints. What it gives you in realism, it takes away in
realism.
in player enjoyment.
Yeah. Great game, though. And the end is not definitive. Nobody agrees on what the end really means, that kind of game. If you really want something super definitive, you're not going to find it here. But it is a good ending and it has a little bit of a twist. So, again, doubling up on my recommendation if you like these kind of games.
Okay. And so I got into Kerbal this week a little bit. Like I said, I've been out for most of the week, but I still got an opportunity to play a little bit of it. I definitely want to play some more, but I was able to get in a little bit. I like it. It's kind of right in my wheelhouse. It's kind of like an RPG, but you're like building some stuff and you're unlocking pieces and then you're trying to build more stuff and you're unlocking challenges and stuff like that. So the surface of it is very nice. However, I've got two complaints, and and I'm hoping to lead this into some discussion. Number one is the UI is poop. Like, just all around poop. Like, the text is small and hard to read. It brings it up and you can't do anything until you move. The buttons aren't intuitive. The screen doesn't. So the user interface is poop. But number two is
one of my biggest pet peeves. There's no excuse.
Yeah, there really
is. Steal somebody else's if you can't do your own.
And in their defense, they're trying to give you a lot of information, but you can do a better job. This was in beta for a long fucking time.
A long time.
So they could have done better. And two, their tutorial. And this is kind of one I wanted to get into, because this tutorial pisses me off. Because you can start the game, and then the game just starts. Or you can go into the tutorials section, and then you have a list of like 6 or 7 tutorials, and each tutorial is like 10 minutes of just screen after people talking, and then you do one thing, talking, like...
That's my least favorite version of tutorials. Yeah. The segmented tutorials, I don't like very much.
And it just is mind-boggling. This game that was in beta so long does not have a very, like, tight tutorial. Like, wouldn't they have been doing this tutorial for, like, a year now? So this is my thing. My favorite tutorials are the ones that are in-game. They have an action that comes up. They tell you what you can do to overcome that. You know, like, Wolfenstein is a good example. Oh, push E to open the fucking thing. Oh, now I know E does this.
Right.
Oh, push C to crouch, because I've got to get through this. Okay, now I know C is crouch. It's not taking me to a tutorial thing that says push forward to walk, push C to crouch. Like, you know, like it does it in-game. But my
trial by fire is the best way to learn. And if they do guided trial by fire is probably the best way to learn.
I think we're talking about two very different games here, though. I mean, Kerbal Space Program is essentially rocket science. How do you tutorialize that?
But this is what that first tutorial is, could have been what you did when you push start. You push start, and they say, welcome to the new Kerbal Space Program. Let's make our first rocket. Here, do this to do that. Oh, this does that. Yeah. Oh, we did our first rocket. Now go ahead and play. You know, like, they didn't do that. Right. They said start, and now you got to start or go to the tutorial, you know? Like, and my ideal...
Wait, are you saying that they should force you to play
the
tutorial?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think the ideal tutorial says, I'm experienced, has an option to say, I'm experienced, and then we'll just put you in at the end of the tutorial with all the... whatever the tutorial thing is done. That would be my perfect tutorial system.
Right.
You know?
There's probably better guides on YouTube, I think. That's what I did. I haven't played this game since 2013. Like, it was a long time ago when it first came out. And it's not an easy game.
It's not.
It's a very, very difficult game. And I think a lot of people will get frustrated with this, and it's just not their type of game. But then you have this select handful of people who are really into it.
Yeah, it like has a lot of like options, and when like gives you the full breakdown of every piece and what it does, and what like, and then you've got science points, and you've got like star points, which I forget what they are, and then you've got money. So you've got all these different like.
Do you have to like buy currencies for funding too?
Sort of. You can use your... It's got like a... not a talent tree, but it's got a tech tree.
Yeah.
But then you can also do funding and grants and other thing like that to get money, because you need money as well. It's a very like complicated, but I'm stoked to try all this out.
That's cool.
Because I'm excited about it, but I just wish this tutorial is just killing me.
It's one of those games that have a lot of appeal, even if I haven't played it. Like, I'm like, man, I always... just looks nice.
This is how bad it is. I go to the launch pad. I launch my guy up. It does its thing. It comes back down and lands. It's now sitting on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I want to finish this flight up. Like, I have no... there's nothing on screen to tell me how to do this. Yeah. I'm trying to click everything. It doesn't... I can't find anything.
That's the worst.
Eventually, I look up
dead
on...
dead screen.
Yeah. Eventually... well, it's doing things. It just won't leave the mission. It won't finish. Eventually, I go on Google to ask how to get out of the freaking missions. You have to go up to the altimeter, and when you scroll over the altimeter opens up, and there's menu options in there, and one of them is, like, it doesn't know that I landed. Can we just get out of the fucking mission?
Like,
anyways, so that's been my experience with Kerbal so far.
Bob, you got anything?
I've already talked about everything I've done this week.
Okay.
Let's talk about some listener questions. We're not going to be able to get to all of them, but let's start with this one. Is technology moving too fast? Are PCs? This is from College Crusader. Is technology moving too fast? Are PCs becoming obsolete too quickly?
Yeah, he's worried about his stuff like going outdated every 2 years and stuff. But I think this is maybe the best time because I remember it used to be more like that, where I remember that I had to upgrade my rig in order to play this game. That happened at the very beginning of my PC gaming days several times, probably 3 times. And now that never happens anymore. Like, I feel like the games have a very wide graphical settings now. The difference between low and ultra are tremendous. And so are the rigs that you could use to run them. It doesn't even seem like the games are pushing the boundaries anymore. It's more like the last one to really do it was Crysis. Crysis was crushing everything that was out. And then since then, I don't know. I think the hardware is a little bit in front of the games right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not like it used to be. I mean, I've been sitting on the same graphics card for well over 2 years now, and it's the longest I've ever done that. And I used to upgrade quite frequently. And there used to be more of a noticeable change when I upgraded, too. Now, I don't know if it's the games aren't focusing as much on graphics or if that there just hasn't been that many. I think it is. There hasn't been that many advancements in technology because look at AMD. They're coming out with their R9 380s pretty soon here. Probably at Computex we're going to be seeing those drop. But AMD has not released a flagship video card in over a year. I think the last one they released was the 290, I mean the 295X maybe, but like they're just not releasing cards as often as they used to.
Maybe they're just happy being, you know, second fiddle or whatever. Not happy, but found their niche in the lower budget, you know, price range. They're not going to have a flagship because they can't compete with NVIDIA because NVIDIA has so much more resources.
I don't know. They definitely want their share, but I'm not saying that this is an example of AMD not doing well financially. I'm just saying this in general, like graphics cards in general, there hasn't been that much competition between them and there hasn't been that much push.
I'm wondering also, and I don't mean this to this particular listener because I don't think that's the case in his case, but I think gamers that come from console into PC, there's a different expectation. When you buy a console, that's yours for 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, they say a lifespan for a console is 10 years.
Exactly. And then if you go from console into the PC market, it's a little bit of a switch because you're not looking at that 5, 6 year lifespan. You're looking at 2 or 3 years, and then you're looking to upgrade pieces.
But it's just pieces.
It's pieces.
As opposed to the whole thing.
What you should be doing is upgrading pieces and then just putting in what you need to upgrade. And I think...
But that piece you just bought... Cost you what a console costs.
Exactly. So I think for some people getting into the PC market, it's a switch for them because you are looking to upgrade something maybe once a year. You're looking to upgrade something or a couple pieces every couple years.
But it's more like maintaining your favorite car as opposed to buying a new car every time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
I'm going to just reiterate real quick. It used to be like, I can't play that game until I get a new rig.
Yeah.
That used to be how it is, and that does not happen anymore.
I got to that point recently.
Right, but you were way behind.
But I was probably, what, 4 or 5 years?
At least 3.5. This card now that you have, probably the next 3, 3.5.
Yeah.
So that's DL Gaming's stamp.
And who was that again?
College Crusader.
Thank you. We appreciate all the listener questions you guys keep.
Yeah, we're
going
to get to all of them. Yeah. We have a new discussion. If anything pops into your head that you want to know, even about us or whatever, or some crazy question like whatever, just go there and just throw it in there. We might get to it. Most likely, we're going to get to it though. Yeah. And it's on our DL Gaming
Steam group.
Yeah.
In future episodes, we'll make a little more time for listener questions.
We played a lot of games this week, so just good.
All right, but for now, we're going to move on to news. So in news, I'm very excited about this. They've revealed what they call gameplay footage of Doom. 3 seconds of it.
3 whole seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very quick, and calling it gameplay is very liberal. I don't know if I would consider this... It's probably in-engine footage of the game, but I don't think it really represents what the experience is going to be like.
I mean, how could... You can't really even extrapolate.
3 seconds?
I heard a really good thing. It was like, is this the shortest video game clip of all time or the longest screenshot of all time?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, what it essentially shows is someone reloading a gun very quickly and then a... what do they call those guys in Doom? The skeletons with the rocket launchers on their shoulders. They have a name. I can't think of what they are. But one of those guys kind of charging forward and firing rockets and yelling. And yeah, it goes very quickly. It's done at an angle that would not be, that you would not see in a game. It's not a first person point of view or third person over the shoulder. It's kind of from the side, from a low angle. So it looks cinematic. It looks great.
It looks great, but it is 3 seconds. And it also equates to Chad's love life, the 3 seconds of Doom.
Yeah, 3 seconds of Doom.
Emilio's is 3 seconds of Boom.
That's sad. Yeah, you made me sad.
I don't know what we can even say about it, though. I mean, I'm excited for Doom regardless. I don't think this really sheds light on anything.
I think this is a precursor to what they're going to show at E3, basically.
Well, probably QuakeCon.
Do they have a release date?
No. No, they haven't even talked about it. There's been no news about this game for a very long time.
Yeah.
And QuakeCon is probably going to be the place. They showed a trailer of game... not a trailer, but they showed gameplay footage at QuakeCon, but they locked that shit down. Like, nobody
has
footage.
It.
Yeah, it is nowhere.
I couldn't find it right after, which is so weird.
I've seen people describe it. Like, they've typed it out and described it, but...
it's like it was a prophet or some kind of vision, like people told me, but there's no proof, you know?
It does not
like,
exist in video form anywhere. But, so, I mean, they are working on it. It does exist. And they did that specifically to address the doubts that people had about that game actually coming out. And they wanted to prove that, no, this is something serious that we are making. And that was a year ago. And QuakeCon's coming up in July... It's coming up pretty soon. I doubt they'll make any sort of reveal at E3. We'll probably hear more during QuakeCon.
I will be at E3 this year, by the way.
Supposedly E3 is going to be the announcement of Fallout 4, finally.
Hmm.
So I cannot wait for
Half-Life that. Half-Life 3, is it going to be announced?
No.
E3 tends to be more of a console-centered.
Yeah, definitely.
But that does come out on, I mean...
Yeah, there's some overlap. Okay, so what else we got? Windows 10 is going to be the last Windows?
Yeah, so instead of like coming out with a new Windows every 2 years, they're just going to keep upgrading this one and doing tweaks. And then if they do have an overhaul of a new Windows to come out, they're losing the Windows name, they said. So I think this is going to, Windows 10 is going to be out for the next like 5-6 years and just keep upgrading.
So we'll see 10.1, 10.2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eventually something completely new comes out.
It's kind of mind-boggling that they still use Windows. Like, that's such an...
It's amazing.
...archaic, like, concept.
It's the origin story. And
well, if you compare it to OS X, OS X never really had names for it. They would always name theirs after cats. And they would give them numerical values as well. OS 8, OS 9, 10...
One of them does desserts, right?
That's the iPhone.
That's Android.
Oh, Android.
Yeah.
Where are they at now? Like cream pie or something?
I think it was like jelly bean, and then there was like gummy bears. Yeah. Something
that'll
like that.
Be a good one. It's coming soon. 4.5 cream pie. Android.
They might have bought that one. Heyo!
Hey!
Boom!
It just got awkward.
Oculus in quarter one of 2016. They have a. Is this the first time they've had a release date?
Yeah,
I feel like there's been other release dates.
No, you know, Crystal Cove came out like 2 years ago or whatever. They've been using on the consumer model.
And that's going to be finally really close to the consumer model, right? Crystal Cove?
Yeah. And people like it, but people like the Steam version. God damn it. Somebody hit me with the name. The Vive.
Rove?
Vive?
Yeah, it's the Vive.
Yeah,
HTC Vive.
That's coming out in November of this year. So it's tricky. The Vive already has better reviews than Crystal Cove. So are people going to buy the... I'm probably going to buy the one in November.
How much is that one going for?
They haven't said yet.
Yeah.
So
your firstborn?
I just... I just
tricks
like,
on them. Well, you're not having kids.
Boom.
I think we can assume that the price is going to be somewhere between $300 and $400 for the Oculus.
How much would you guys pay?
The question is, can I just use that as my screen? If I could just use that as my screen, then maybe I could concept the idea of not having a screen and I only have a headset monitor.
I don't know. I
could see that being taxing, like just weighing down on you. You know, playing 3 hours of something.
Well, not only that, but there'd be some significant eye strain from that too. But there'd probably be a way to do it, but I don't think this is going to be the packaged experience a lot of people assume it is. I mean, we've played around with the first generation of the Oculus Rift, and there's a lot of configuration and a lot of tweaking involved in that. A lot of calibrating.
But, I mean, Chad does have a really cool point where if you could put yourself in a movie theater playing Half-Life 2, that would be fucking sweet.
I thought that was kind of the concept. Like, you can use the 3D if you want, but if not, We can just make a giant ass screen in front of your face.
I mean, the problem, and you can do that, and we did that with, I did that with one of the more popular apps on the Oculus Rift is the movie theater app, and I loaded it up, put on a movie, but the resolution was way too low. I mean, this is the first generation, so extremely low resolution, low fidelity, if you will, but the newer one is supposed to be much better, but I mean, how much better, and is it going to be enough? I've heard it said by experts that you need, with a screen that close, you need 4K resolution in each eye.
At least. Yeah. Because when you're getting that close.
Yeah, in each eye. So 4K, right. 4K. And a lot of times when you see, if they say, okay, we're running 1080p resolution in Crystal Cove, that's actually 540p in each eye.
540, yeah.
So it's not truly 1080p.
Hmm.
I don't know. We'll see when it comes out, though. I'm sure it's going to be amazing, no matter what.
When do we get to the point where we just jack in, like, Matrix or half a dozen other games?
Whenever you have a hole in the back of the head.
I'm ready. Let's do that. I'm sick of carrying my phone around. I
want it just, in my forearm.
I heard, by the way, that... a little side tangent. I've heard that there's now some legislation going around that phones now have to warn you about the potential... radiation of radiation frequencies, and they recommend that you don't keep it against your body all day. So my thigh is probably going to fall off when I'm 70. So.
Probably my ass. I keep mine in my back pocket, so my ass is going to fall off.
Yeah, it's too late for all of us.
This, by the way, is my birth control protection. I just keep it right
by your nuts.
Yeah, I just
boom,
just kill them all off.
There's an app for that.
Yeah, just shoot that radio frequencies in there.
I mean, we've beat this to death, but the only thing that I see over, a lot of things. Just look it up, do the research yourself. Vive has a lot of things that the Oculus doesn't have, but we haven't seen the latest model of the Oculus. I mean, Crystal Cove came out a year ago, so who knows what they've added.
Yeah,
they've probably stolen some stuff from Vive. But the thing that Vive, the one selling point, it scans your living room and tells you where everything is so you don't bump into it when you're having this blindfold on you. You know? You're not going to run into the walls or your couch because it's all incorporated by the lasers that are jumping around your house. So, and what is it? The Oculus is using, the last time they had one was...
Well, the Oculus is a sit-down experience. You're not meant to be walking around or moving at all with an Oculus on.
So there you go. I'm sure... If Vive is a walking around experience and Oculus isn't, that means that the Vive can also be a sitting experience. Yeah. But, you know, one is both and the other one is only just one. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. My money's still on the Oculus. They got John Carmack on that. That's where my money's at.
So Carmack over Steam.
Any day.
Carmack over Newell, huh?
Any damn day.
All right, what else we got?
Ragefire beta.
Oh, yeah.
For EverQuest.
So EverQuest is doing a new progression server. They're doing some beta.
EverQuest next?
No, the original EverQuest.
You
can do.
Okay. This is news.
Well, so they're
is it
doing
Throwback Thursday.
I didn't realize that they had these progression servers.
Even know what. Go ahead.
It starts at a level 60 with no expansions.
Okay.
And you go, the Luckland's not open, you can't play as a cat, it's very, everything is 60.
Okay.
And then you're playing for a while, and after a while, the next expansion opens up, and then it opens up that content.
Okay.
So you can really get the EverQuest experience that we had back in the day when we were playing. So what was the first expansion that came out?
Does Sony have anything to do with this stuff?
No, this is Daybreak Entertainment. Who's got EverQuest now? Daybreak, I think.
I am not sure.
Yeah. So you can get on a server.
Back in the day, there were emulators. Is it an emulator?
No, this is official on the, you know, the forums, right, on the servers.
Do you pay for this?
Right now, the beta is free. So if you want to get on the Ragefire beta, you can go and play the progression for free. I have a couple friends playing. They're trying to get me to play some, so I might go on.
Maybe we could see. Maybe we should jump back in and see how much dog shit we were actually, we're so nostalgic for. There's no game I'm more nostalgic about.
Well, that's why I bring this up, because I think you and I should jump in here.
Yeah,
and
give, that sounds kind of cool.
Give people a little review. And if you're going to jump back into EverQuest, you want to jump into a progression server, right? You want to play it from 60, level up to 60, then... When, was it 60? What was the first
level? Oh, wait, you start at level 1?
You start at level 1. Oh. With a brand new character.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah.
I want to play a necromancer so bad.
Yeah.
A real necromancer.
The only, like, caveat is the upgrades that they made to the system. So these servers have to work with the rest of the other servers.
Yeah.
Your money doesn't have weight, you know, remember where you used to be encumbered?
Yeah, yeah.
So later on they removed that. So these servers don't have like all the old school, or the UI is the newer UI. It's not the old school UI.
So not only are you progressing through the game, but you're progressing through the development of the game.
Exactly. So you can't get the cats until the Lucklin expansion comes out. Then you can create a cat.
So weird.
Doesn't that sound cool?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, pretty cool.
So...
We just need to do this for a
while. We're the only two people.
But we're also talking about 400 hours of gameplay to do all that.
Well, I think.
More, probably.
I think the other thing is they've sped up XP.
Yeah, I hope so.
So you can actually do the progression of this.
And if anything, we're masters at it. It's fucking that shit, man.
Yeah.
We played the shit out of that.
Remember DLO? Oh, one of the other changes is your stuff isn't on your corpse when you die anymore. So you don't have to do corpse runs to get your equipment and all.
Yeah.
So. They made it. They dumbed it down a little bit, but it's still much harder than WoW is.
That's cool.
Wow. So that's going to bring us to the end here. What are the plans for next week?
I think I'm going to pick up Warhammer 40K Regicide. Have you guys seen this? It's like it looks like a chessboard.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I think we're going to pick that up. The animations on the kills just look fucking phenomenal.
Is this like battle chess?
Yeah, it looks like battle chess, but there's more to it. Like. From what I've seen, the movements, you have a chessboard, but then you move your pawn two spaces forward, but then you can shoot your machine gun.
Oh.
And then anybody...
And that, people have, like, health bars and shit?
Yeah. And with it, whatever range, anybody who can target that dude that you move forward shoots him automatically as a response. So the whole front line can shoot that guy. But you have a lot of hit points. But yeah, the kill move's, like, awesome. And I don't know how much it is. Depending on how much it is, I might pick it up. I'm kind of committing myself at this point, so I'm going to get it.
Well, you're going to play Witcher.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow.
Witcher 3 coming out. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you guys will be playing that.
And I really didn't go through Witcher 1 and 2 that I said I was going to and never did. So I hope Witcher 3 doesn't just throw me into the mix and hopefully explain some things before I get in there.
I don't know. I was talking to my girl about it. I'm like, babe, this is like the biggest release of this year, maybe. And then I looked up some gameplay footage, and I was like, the graphics got to be looking better than this. So probably on your rig, they'll probably be looking pretty
good. Clown Lotion was raving about it when he was talking to me earlier today.
Yeah.
Like how good the graphics look and how excited he was to hear about it on the 970. So.
Cool.
Well, we'll be back next week.
How about
we'll
you,
have
Bobby?
The scoop on that. I don't know what I'm going to play. Obviously more Killing Floor 2, but I don't know what I'm going to get into right now. I've just finished two games, so I'm ready to start something new. We'll see what that is. It'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
All right, so you can check us out at DLGaming.
Sorry, did we want to mention a giveaway?
Or are we we'll do it next week. We just did one last week.
So. Yeah, we're going to be doing another review giveaway next week, so leave those reviews on iTunes. Be eligible for that.
Yeah, I mean... There's no reason not to go do the review right now. Just go to our iTunes page. You can get to the exact page from our website, dlgaming.net. Hit the iTunes button. Send you right there. If you don't have an account, sign up. I mean, a lot of the people on there signed up with iTunes just so they could review this, just so they could enter the thing, or just because they love us.
Review us. Put your Steam name so we know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
And you're entered in.
It's funny. Dr. Mops, who won last week, he had put in a review, and then we remembered that he hadn't put his Steam name. Had just that day put in his Steam name, and then a few hours later, I contacted him that he had won.
Really?
So, yeah. He was really stoked about it.
Yeah, he sent me a friend request, so yeah. That's cool.
All right, so that's going to do it. DLGaming.net. You can see our YouTube channel there. Check out that Killing Floor 2 video. Also Twitter, all that stuff.
But thumbs up that video on Steam, because Bobby wants to get on the front page.
Yeah, well, I'm already there. I want to stay there.
There you go. It is really cool to watch, too. We're not just saying just whatever, support shit. It's a really good video. And,
what the fuck is that?
Titties!
What the fuck was that?
Jesus. Krusty the Crown, man!
Krusty the Crown.
Krusty the Crown, okay. All right.